Welcome to the B-Ball Index podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Wyman, with Christian Narsu and our guest, Kostya Medvedovsky. That was not the first attempt for anyone listening at home. Kostya, welcome to the show. You are the creator of Darko, a wonderful all-in-one metric. And you're going to be talking about preseason analysis, what we can take from that, betting conclusions, and then we're going to get into Vegas win predictions and how the LeBron, our BBI flagship stat in Darko, differ from those. Kostya, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
If you could just give us a quick, background on you and just a brief introduction to Darko before we dive into the good stuff. Could you give us just kind of, how it works, how it came to be?
Yeah, sure. Darko started off as a box score projection system. You know, I play a lot of fantasy basketball, and I wanted a way to beat my friends' fantasy basketball, trying to figure out how do I weigh guys, shooting 45% from three against, he couldn't ever hit a three last year. So I came up with this box score projection system, which is based on essentially exponential decay, the idea that you should weight more recent data more heavily, but you should also remember older data at all times. So all data in Darko is weighted by x to the power of days ago, where x is some value between 0 and 1. So, data yesterday gets a weight of essentially 1, and data, 3 years ago might get almost no weight. And so I built out Darko as a box score projection system, and then eventually I built out sort of an all-in-one stat like a bunch of others that are out there, like LeBron as well.
All right, yeah. I was doing some reading on it last night, and I thought the decay thing was really interesting because if anyone's, done fantasy, like you said, it started as, and you do projections or you do tier lists, it's so hard to make a cutoff. Because every time you make that cutoff, you realize you're like, oh, well, because of this, that, and whatever, this isn't a good place. So you then try to move that line. And I feel like that decay model is such a brilliant idea to handling a problem like that.
Yeah, it works well. It sort of gets rid of the issue of arbitrary endpoints. Because if you look back, 3 years, maybe that's fine. But then, maybe somebody had like a really great year 4 years ago, and does that really deserve zero weight? So this is a way of sort of balancing all those factors and letting you consider the fact that, players change, they get better, they get worse. But also remembering their history, we deal with sports data, which is pretty noisy inherently. So it lets you create a balance of the two.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys. So let's get into the preseason, kind of the analysis that you can do there in the conclusions you can take betting this season, maybe sure over unders. Can you get into kind of what can be taken away from the preseason?
There was some chatter the other night about the Bulls were plus 32.5 net rating in preseason, and Bulls fans were getting really excited there. So I took a look at preseason results going back to 2004 and calculated simple rating system, which is essentially just a regression that accounts for net rating and strength of schedule in preseason, and look to see how preseason results are predictive of regular season results. And specifically what I did was I applied the padding method, which I know Krishna uses in LeBron, and I've written about elsewhere, as a way to blend new data, which in this case is our preseason data, against some kind of prior expectation that we had. And for the preseason data, the prior expectation I used was the Vegas over-under. So I applied that padding method to see, are preseason results predictive? How predictive? And the answer is, there's a pretty good amount of signal to preseason results. It varies, obviously, by how well you do. But that Bulls result ended up being pretty robust. They finished preseason at a plus 28.5 SRS, which is enough to boost their projection for the season by just over 2 points per game, which is pretty good. And then on the flip side, we had teams like the Lakers and the Warriors, surprisingly, end up as the biggest losers, both being projected to lose. The Lakers were projected to lose just over 2 points from their net rating relative to Vegas, and the Warriors about a point.
So I think that's really interesting to be able to take away things from the preseason that are important, that are predictive. I kind of wanted to get a little bit more into that. You were tweeting about it last night. It went from not only just, you know, as a team, but things like free throw percentage, which I thought was really interesting that can be predictive in when, you know, from the preseason to the regular season.
In preseason, you know, there's a lot of data that comes in. The team level data is the easiest stuff to look at, but in some ways probably has the least amount of signal. You know, a lot of people like to disregard preseason data entirely because it's, you know, there's so many junk rotations, junk players playing, you know, it doesn't really seem to resemble real basketball. But if you look at the, you know, the box score data for the players we actually care about, you'll see that there's real signal to you know, free throw percentage. For instance, if you apply the same sort of padding method, you get the same sort of result that, you know, you got to pad the players' results a little bit, but that you can really apply, you know, you can take a look, you know, Christian Wood, I think, is shooting like 39% from the line in preseason. And you can really get some signal there from Darko's point of view that moves his free throw shooting projection down by about 3%, you know, so he's down to like, you know, 63%. Anthony Davis is also having a rough preseason from the line. And likewise, Darko's a little bit more pessimistic about his free throw shooting going forward. You know, so that preseason analysis at the team level that I talked about earlier, you know, that's helpful. But if you do it at the player level, you know, maybe even create some kind of SPM based on preseason results, you could probably get even more signal there because you're going to filter out, you know, the nonsense players that we don't really care about.
It's so interesting, you know, everything you're saying here, because I worked at a football analytics company prior to this. And I remember one time we were sitting all around the office and one of the guys was like, you know, I'm pretty sure the preseason, you know, everybody says preseason doesn't matter, right? And he's like, I'm pretty sure it does. He's like, I just don't know how yet. Like, I don't know where to look. Or, at, you know, at this point, it was like, I don't know what kind of model to build, where you can find that data, where you can find that information. So it's fascinating that, you know, you can use Darko to find these things in the over-under, and then you can go down to something so specific as free throw percentage, where you think it's almost like you wouldn't think, but then once you, you know, you get into the numbers, it is interesting to see these things can be predictive, or they can have, you know, small bits of information in them.
Yeah, you know, free throw percentage is probably the most meaningful one because you're not dealing with opposition. So the fact that, you know, you're maybe not playing against the best opposition at all times isn't going to be as relevant. It's really just a test to sort of like where your own mechanics are at in preseason. I imagine if you look, I did not yet look at 3-point shooting. I imagine if you look at 3-point shooting, it's going to be a little bit more variable. And the more you get to something like assists, I think the signal would probably drop a little more. You know, it should be possible to, you know, consolidate all these things and create some kind of blended SPM based on preseason data.
Well, that's awesome. We're definitely going to have you back next year as, you know, as this builds, as we get more information, as we can figure more things out. And we want to know everything you learned from this year going into next year. But let's go to from the preseason to the regular season. Let's look at our win predictions versus Vegas with we have a chart here with 538s, Raptor with your Darko, our LeBron. And then we're going to bring in Christian Narsu. He is our numbers guy to talk with you about where you kind of see the biggest agreement and disagreements in the analytics community versus the Vegas win total. So Krishna, what are you itching to talk about right now?
I'm just going to add, we have one more model in there for EPM. So we got 4, 5, 38, Raptor, Darko, EPM, and LeBron. And we're both kind of looking at a sheet here with like all the Vegas over-unders. And I guess the first team to talk about is we'll talk about the Warriors, I guess, because I think, Costa, you found some interesting data with them in the preseason. I'll let you expand on.
Yeah. Well, with the Warriors in particular, I did that preseason analysis earlier, you know, and they showed up as one of the losers. You know, I think they had the fourth worst outcome from preseason, and I posted that in our Slack. You asked me to check that, saying, "Does that sound right?" They went 5-0.
Right.
So I did go back and double check that. That one's not a math error. The issue is essentially that they went 5-0, but they faced all the other worst preseason teams. They played the Lakers and the Blazers a bunch, which are, you know, the other biggest losers. So it's sort of this Ouroboros situation of the snake eating its own tail, where all these sort of bad teams are playing each other, you know, and generating. Well, I guess in the case of the Warriors generating wins without having a lot of predictive power, at least as far as this, preseason analysis goes.
Two of the teams they beat up on, like that were worse than them, Portland and the Lakers, are actually projected to be pretty good. So.
Yeah, you know, we will see. We might have run into the limits of this sort of analysis. I'm a little hesitant to go all in, shorting the Warriors after they go 5-0 in the preseason. But we'll present the results as is and see what comes.
So the Warriors were at 49 wins as of this recording. Darko thinks they're going to be six worse than that. LeBron is nine worse than that. So the analytics community, not high on the Warriors. We touched on the Lakers.
The two others, 538, we're at minus 13 and EPM minus 12. So
not great across the board.
Yeah, that's in the red across the board there.
And then for the Lakers, their win prediction was 53 wins. And the average of that for all the things we're looking at is minus six average. So minus six for Darko, minus one for LeBron, and then all the other ones in there. 538 really doesn't like the Lakers. So it's interesting to see these top heavy teams with their win predictions and the analytics community absolutely hating them. But what's very interesting is teams on the bottom end, the Timberwolves and the Wizards, Darko and LeBron are very high on. Kostya, would you like to kind of talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, well, I live in D.C. I'm a burgeoning Wizards fan, I'll call myself. So I'll jump into that one. I'm a big fan of Gafford. He's the guy I want to call out there. They picked him up at the deadline last year. He played like pretty well. Darko's a big fan of him. In particular, Darko thinks he's good on the offensive end. You know, he has this reputation as sort of like a Mitchell Robinson sort of energy defensive center. You know, can protect the rim, but sort of maybe not the most delicate guy on offense. But Darko thinks he's actually pretty good on the offensive end. And so I'm a big fan of what they're building over there.
Yeah, I like them to hit the over too. I like what they got there. They got good depth too, which I think you can't go wrong with, like, the, you know, in the regular season you want depth. Yeah, and like across the board here, like we got overs on like each of the models. Like, let's see, 538 is like plus five, Darko plus six, EPM plus nine, and LeBron plus five. So that's like across the board, solidly, and the 33 projected 33 wins by Vegas seems kind of low. Like even if I didn't know anything, like if I wasn't looking at any specific model or something like that, that does seem kind of low.
Yeah, you know, what you said about depth makes sense. You know, at a high level, a lot of beating the Vegas win projection is just like find the teams with the most depth. There's a lot of injuries during the year, and like depth really wins in the regular season. Maybe it does not translate always to the playoffs, but in terms of what works well in the regular season, it's like not putting out a lot of minutes from like minus three guys.
Like some of the models are not particularly high on the Heat, and like, you know, one of the things, so they're actually all under. LeBron's, I think, the only one that's only minus one, but everyone else is like solidly under. And I think the thing with the Heat, like I've been kind of answering, like their depth is like really bad. I think Darko probably agrees with that, correct?
Yeah, Darko's not a huge fan of their depth. You know, I tweeted the other day about the PJ Tucker situation. He's the most interesting man in the world from the analytics point of view, it seems. Essentially every analytics system thinks he's somewhere between bad and like way, way worse than replacement. but like, you know, there seems to be a consensus that he was a big loss for the Bucks. So he's an interesting guy to watch. And as far as the Heat goes, maybe a reason why the models are not big fans.
If he is better than like any of these models suggest, it's probably added value in the playoffs, I would guess, you know, as opposed to like, you know, like, yeah, he's like really, really bad in the regular season last year.
Yeah, no, and that's what I mean, though. It's like, even if you're saving him for the playoffs, unless you play him 0 minutes during the regular season, that's like, I think some of these models had him like at a -4. So, you know, you're putting out a decent number of minutes, even as a backup from a -4 player. And that's really going to drag you down.
Yeah, so let's move on to the Timberwolves. Timberwolves at 36 wins. Darko thinks they're going to be 7 better than that. LeBron thinks they're going to be 4 better than that. EPM, 10. Raptor 5, so across the board, everybody loves them. Anthony Edwards in year 2, hopefully a full healthy year from Cat. Costio, what are you thinking from the Timberwolves?
Well, I think a big part of it is essentially Darko just can't quit Towns. You know, he's been not the most impactful player, and maybe a little bit of a disappointment so far. But you know, Darko is just a big fan of his profile. You know, there's a pretty strong sort of just prior based on the fact, you know, he's a number one pick. He's super tall. He's got good buck stats. And even though they haven't sort of translated to the best on off data, Darko just keeps pushing him up. And so he ends up grading really well. And then you mentioned Anthony Edwards. He really came on strong. And so, you know, Darko, you know, weights performance in the second half of the season more heavily. And so he gets a big boost. He had a really big second half spike. And so he ends up grading pretty high.
I'm looking at the Wolves projections, and I thought that was this is kind of interesting. D'Angelo Russell. So EPM is like really, really high on the Wolves, right? And I'm looking at the Wolves projections, and D'Angelo Russell is a positive in EPM, which kind of surprised me. A +1.09 here, and this is like a multi-year version. Adjusted for age, and yeah, that just kind of surprised me. So and they got a few other positive players here with like so both EPM and LeBron, like Jared Vanderbilt, and obviously like you mentioned, but with Towns, I think he's definitely one of the higher up players and projected to get better. But yeah, anyways, I just thought the Russell thing was interesting, because I don't think we would like it just surprised me. Let's just say that. Like, I know, Costia, we've had discussions about Russell before.
Yeah, yeah. I just looked him up. Darko's got him close to average for next year, which is, you know, his best result ever.
The same for LeBron. Predictive LeBron has him close to about 0. But yeah, the EPM number just kind of surprised me, but it's not that far off.
Yeah, absolutely. So, guys, I'm putting $100 down on this. We're going through win predictions versus Vegas. We got the edge because we got the numbers. I'm talking to two very smart basketball minds. I'm putting $100 down on the team. You tell me who is your lock, your guarantee of going over their Vegas win total this season.
Hey, for me, it's definitely the Spurs. They came in, you know, I think they opened at like 27.5. It's been, you know, bet up now to like 30, I guess, is what we're talking about. But either way, I think, you know, that is a team that's going to, like, try to win all year. They're going to try to play. Pop's not going to let them tank. And, you know, they have some, like, NBA players. You know, Derek White is an NBA player. DeJounte Murray is an NBA player. This is not a team with nobody out there.
Christian, you got a team?
Yeah, I think the Spurs is a good one. I will go with the Wizards, I guess. We mentioned them earlier, but yeah, I just really like their team. Like, I would be surprised if they're at like 33 wins. Seems a bit low.
Plus, I got Jacob Goldstein. How could they go wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
Former BBI. All right, guys. So the biggest disagreements between LeBron and Darko. So I'm kind of going to, you know, we've been having a nice time now. I'm going to kind of get you guys facing off here. So the biggest disagreements, let's start with the 76ers. Darko, so they're at 50 wins projected. Darko thinks they're going to win 6 more games than that. LeBron -2. You guys are 8 games apart. Costia, give me your take on why you're high on the Sixers in the Darko model this year.
The absurdity of this is that Darko is actually a huge fan of Ben Simmons, who's a player that Christian and I have debated a bunch of times. I've been long on the Sixers should get rid of Simmons, and you can't win with this guy train. But Darko thinks really likes Simmons, at least as far as the regular season goes. He consistently pops whenever I do a model run. Especially if I like look a few years out, he always grades really, really high. So I think Darko is probably the highest on him of the public models. I haven't totally verified that, but that's my recollection from the last time I looked.
Yeah, I think, well, so regarding the Sixers win projections, I also suspect some of the differences us using different minutes projections. So I think you have Simmons playing like 40% of the minutes, right? And both EPM and LeBron are at 0 minutes for Simmons. So that could be, it could be that. And actually predictive LeBron does like Simmons, I think top 30. He's actually ahead of Kevin Durant in predictive LeBron.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not so much, that says more about Simmons, I mean, more about Katie than Simmons, because he's actually not that high. Like, well, he is top 30, but like it's more about the odd placement with Katie, and I think that's just because he played like 40 games last year, and just based on the way I modeled predictive LeBron, where like games played and minutes played matter towards like over the last three seasons, plus your LeBron, like I think that's why Katie is kind of lower. Like I kind of think he's a little overrated, but I don't think he's like that bad. I think Kostya agrees with my little overrated Katie take. So I'll let him run with that before I say anything that gets me in trouble.
No, I mean, I've got a fairly conventional, I think, within the stats community take on Durant. You know, he's like never quite been up to his reputation, you know, the various RAPM model, you know, you look at Ryan Davis's site, you know, he's not like grading like badly, but he's rarely, you know, in the MVP conversation. Whereas you listen to other podcasts, you know, people talking about him as, you know, is he a title away from being top five all time? You know, and there's just a real disconnect with his impact ratings.
Voted the best player by like ESPN this year too. Yeah, there's always kind of been a disconnect. And like I saw somebody, I think it was like Anthony Doyle, mention the fact that like Katie looks like a great player, and like maybe like there's some bias towards like, oh, he looks like a great player. Like and I'm not saying like he's not like a top five player, like he clearly is, but like I don't think he's like the undisputed best player in the league the way like everybody else is kind of going with that right now.
Yeah, you know, there's some, maybe this isn't the podcast for it, but there's like something a little more deeper going on too, where, you know, his like box score stats are really, really upper echelon. It's specifically like his teams have like never been quite elite enough on offense with him around, like in terms of actual on-off kind of data. And that's really where he gets dragged down with the various RAPM. And again, I'm saying dragged down relatively, like he, you know, grades like eighth or something right. In a lot of years.
And his defense is not like super high either. It's like, it's generally a lot lower than like maybe most people perceive it to be.
Yeah. I think that's true. He just has these like weird results. I mean, he's had some weird contacts. You know, he joined, obviously the Warriors, and essentially there's like no change in team quality, which will absolutely kill you from the point of view of RAPM type metrics. And, you know, obviously people give him credit for performance in the playoffs, but that's not a ton of minutes, but that leads to another disconnect there. And it's just sort of like sort of a perfect storm for him between the, I'll say, the analytics metrics. I'm not going to say the analytics community, because I think a lot of people will beg off there, but the analytics metrics and his common reputation.
Yeah.
And, is there another player that comes to mind that kind of has this like Durant, where their reputation is very different than what the analytics community kind of feels about them? Is there someone that comes to mind other than Durant?
Luka Doncic.
That's a good one, yeah.
Please please elaborate.
Doncic has essentially the same issue on the offensive end. He does not even have the defensive reputation at all. Doncic, he had that magical sophomore year, and the team didn't quite have as good a performance when he was actually on the court as you'd expect. And I think from looking into it, there's some weird stuff going on with the luck adjusted data, I think is what it turned out. And he does end up grading pretty well on a lot of stats these days, but relative to where he places, I think he's actually the favorite in the MVP race right now. I think none of Darko, LeBron, EPM, nobody would have him anywhere in that conversation.
So actually, interestingly, when I ran predictive LeBron, and I don't know if, I mean, I put together the model kind of quickly, so it's hastily run. So I don't know if I necessarily am totally buying some of the results, obviously the KD one, but Luka was third and another young player was fifth, was Tatum. So yeah, predictive LeBron actually did like Luka a lot more. Not sure exactly why, because he wasn't actually that high in LeBron last year, but obviously he's super young, project to get better, but
that's good. It speaks well to the model. The more you sort of line up, I'll say, with conventional wisdom in the market, the better I feel about a model. You don't want to put your thumb on the scale, but it does give me a little bit of comfort. So I'd be happy to see Doncic grade in third. He grades it looks like 11th on Darko for next year's ratings.
Yeah, and I think he's definitely been last year was much better relative to the year before, where you saw some of those issues with the plus minus. Last year, I think he actually had a positive impact, and I think he was pretty good in REPM, correct? And luck adjusted REPM too.
All right. Is there anything you guys want to hit on before we get out of here?
Yeah. So I guess we should also talk about the Lakers, which just because their over under is pretty massively out of step with their Vegas line. And they also, and as Kostya mentioned, they were also one of the worst in terms of their change in expectation.
Yeah, they picked up Avery Bradley today, who is a player who I did not know was not already on the Lakers.
2 years ago.
I just kind of thought they'd brought back the entire, Celtics backcourt already. I expect to see Pierce running out there any day now.
He's the right age. He's the right age to be on the team.
Yeah. So obviously they added Westbrook. Westbrook grades okay on various metrics. It's a regular season guy, but so did KCP tragically for them. And obviously the fit is questionable to bad. There's some possibility of LeBron finally showing some age. Obviously a lot of possibility of him not showing any age, but. I think that's probably what's going on with these models. And so then seeing this kind of mediocre preseason results, obviously you never know how seriously to take that with LeBron. Does he really care before, June? Who knows? But, it gives me a little bit of pause at least.
Our LeBron model was only -1 relative to Vegas on the Lakers. And I suspect where LeBron differs from EPM, Darko, and 538 is LeBron was a little higher on Westbrook. And I think that's just I think last year in the regular season, he was kind of decent-ish, towards the end of the year. So I suspect that's where the difference is, because I think the rest of the depth on this team is probably pretty bad. Outside of LeBron and AD, obviously, that's how you end up with a much worse, win projection than what Vegas has. And obviously they have some injuries too with some of their young players, so it's a super old team, which is actually what kind of surprised me a bit with LeBron actually not being lower on them, because you figure with the aging, like aging negatively, essentially, like all their guys are on the wrong side of the age curve. We'd be a little lower on the Lakers, but I think I would probably, if we're like looking for teams to bet the under on, that seems like a pretty easy one to me.
All right, so our takeaways. The analytics community does not like the Lakers and the Warriors this year for their win predictions. If you're going to bet, Timberwolves, Wizards, and Spurs are definitely the way to go. Kostya, thank you very much for the time. I appreciate you coming on the podcast. We hope to talk to you soon. We'll be in touch. And that's going to do it for this week's episode of the B-Ball Index podcast.
Thanks for having me on.